is coming again.
Chaplain John McTernan, and yes, Jesus is coming again. He came the first time according to the scriptures, according to the prophetic word of God, and there is the prophetic word of God about his second coming. Two phases to his second coming. The first coming, he's coming for his church, and then in the second phase, he returns with his church. The church goes to him as the church, but when it returns, it's the bride. So, yes, Jesus is coming again. So, this is Tuesday night teaching, and we're going to go with the book of 1 John. And how was your day today, Sister Sharon?
Well, it was a nice day. I had a couple of challenges, but working through them. How about yours?
Well, I think I did say Sister Sharon, didn't I?
Oh, I just heard Sister and I changed the earphone, so I know she's there, though.
Hello, Sharon. Well, someone might be muted.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. I had to reboot a couple of times, and
we're all having trouble tonight. I couldn't get into Uber conference dialpad there.
Right. But now you're there.
Yeah, I figured out how to delete it and start all over again.
Wow.
So Rumble's working fine, but not Uber conference. But
yeah,
we're here now. We're getting going, and so did you have a good day?
I had a fairly good day, and tomorrow's the big treatment and stuff.
Oh.
But I read 1 John chapter 3, where I listened to it on audio Bible a couple times to try to get a head start.
Good.
And I said, well, I'll leave this alone. Let Chaplain.
Well, I'll tell you what. Before I start, you get an A.
So, but I'm happy.
How's that, Sister Kathy?
I think that's only fair.
Right, right. Maybe I should sit back and have her teach us.
Yeah, let's try that. It didn't work too good for me today for her, but.
Okay, and is this Gigi and Randy?
Yes, it is. Good evening. Bless you.
Hello. Hello. Well, thank you for the blessing. Thank you. And we're going to get into 1 John chapter 3. And I think we'll start with a word of prayer. And in fact, Sister Gigi, would you lead for a word of prayer for the Bible teaching?
Yes. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the Word, you are the truth, and the life. And we praise you that we can study the Bible together freely. And we pray that you would give John wisdom and insight and knowledge about teaching this, and that everyone would be blessed, and that the internet would be working properly. And I just speak a blessing over each and every person that is listening. And we pray that in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let me get over here to first. No, that didn't work. All right. Hang on. Yeah. In all of the shenanigans I was doing, I closed the PowerPoint. So just in a moment, I'll have it open. And here we go. Well, we're going to be starting in 1 John chapter 3. And it's very interesting. Well, all of 1 John is interesting. But here, I want to remind everybody of the goal. And the goal of 1 John is found in 1 John 1, verse 3 and 4. That which I have seen and heard, declare that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So, the object of 1 John is true fellowship. Well, actually with each other, but also with the Father and the Son. So it's the developed fellowship between us here and the church, and then directly with the Father and the Son. And then verse 4, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So again, the goal here is fellowship with the Father and the Son. And that I believe that this fellowship will create joy to the fullness. That your joy may be full. And I want to remind you that there is an outline. And right now, with the outline, we are at it's the second part of 1 John, and we're into purity of life, which is the end of John chapter 2, the beginning of 3, living righteously, verses 4 through 12 in chapter 3, and then love in action. That's the rest of the chapter. So that's what we're looking at tonight, and we're going to really pick up from 28 to probably verse 12, 228 to 312. Purity of believers and the coming of Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not ashamed before him at his coming. And you know that if he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So what I really, and I want to go with the word abide. We want to look at what it means. And it means to stay in a given place, a state, or a relation. So with this, the context would be a relation, to abide in him, to abide in Christ. But notice, it means to stay, not to move. So we could call our home, or to abide, we abide in, or I abide in my home. That's where I stay. That's where I live. It could be a place, you know, I abide in Texas, or a state there, you know, I abide in Texas, or a relation. You know, I abide with my wife. And here, it means to be in a relationship with God and not to move away. Stay, abide means you stay in that relationship. So I did some looking here through the scriptures, and 1 John is loaded with the word abide and abideth. And also the Gospel of John, really, I think that's the two dominant locations in the scriptures for the word abide. And then I was thinking about righteousness. You know, I wanted to kind of nail down the definitive use of the word righteous and righteousness. So righteous means equitable, and we'll cover that, in character or act, by implication, innocent and holy. There's a close correlation between righteous and holy. But equitable means that you're doing everything right, like a judge. An equitable judge is absolutely neutral in what this judge does, and does it the right way according to the law. You know, an equitable police officer does everything according to the law, does it right, does it fair. So someone that is righteous wants to do everything right according to God's word. And so that's equitable by character. That would be by our character, that's what we want to do. And then by with that character, our actions follow through. And it's very interesting. So when we're equitable, like we're innocent, we are just fair. And then that leads to us being holy. So there is a correlation there between righteous and holy. I would say we couldn't be holy without being righteous. And then living righteous according to the word will lead us into, by character, there, holy. So 1 John is loaded with the word abide and also righteous. The Gospel of John also has abide in it quite a few times. So let's go back now and look at 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Abide in him. So that means we live our life in the word, and not outside the word. We live our life abiding in the word, Jesus Christ, through the word. if we don't do that, a person is outside the Lord and not abiding in him. Those people, apparently, that are not abiding in him, but evidently know him, it says here, when he shall appear, we may have confidence. So we that abide in Christ, that should give us like a solid foundation. And when he shall appear, that's when he calls for us. That's the rapture. We may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So apparently, according to 1 John 2:28, those of us that are living with the Lord in his word, we're in the word and not outside, I don't know, living in the world, we'll say, full of the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, the lust for other things. We're in the word, and that would be with the Lord. We will have confidence. But those that have been, I'm going to say, cavalier in the faith, says here, they're going to be ashamed before him at his coming. And that's real sad, folks. I mean, there are all sorts of things that's going to happen with the Lord in us. There's crowns. We are going to be given crowns. There's all sorts of rewards, acknowledgement that's going to carry into eternity, folks. And when people see what they lost for this, I'll use the word cavalier, life here, very short time, folks. Person lives to be 100. Compared to eternity, it's nothing. It's very short. They will be ashamed, and they'll get over it in eternity. But there'll be a stigma there. They're going to know what they missed. So we want everyone to have fellowship with the Father and the Son, is to abide in Christ. Abide in him. And when he shall appear, we may have confidence. And that confidence, I think, we could carry over to the word boldness and not be ashamed at his coming. And then it flows into verse 29. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. That's born of the Spirit, born of the Word, being born again, 1 Peter 1:23, or is it 2:23? Being born again, 1:23. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then the Scripture also talks about us being born of the Spirit, that our spirit is dead in sin, and then we are quickened. That quickened is given life of the Spirit. So we're born of the Spirit. We have our spirit is it's brought from death to life. So if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So it's natural for us as believers that we want to do righteousness according to the word. Now, there may be some struggles here and there and things like that as we're growing in the word. But ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And that definition in there, it's a character, folks. Righteousness is part of our character and to be holy. So we do know that Jesus Christ is righteous, and we should be following him in an example and in life as he was righteous in this world, so should we be. All right, let's look at some more abiding in him. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. See, this is really like black and white stuff here, folks, that John is laying out. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So an indication, a proof, if you would have it, that we have passed from spiritual death to spiritual life is that we have great love in us. In this particular scripture, it's talking about the brethren. Those are the believers in Jesus Christ. So one of the indicators that we're true believers and that we have life in us, eternal life in us, is love. Verse is very clear and simple. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So the plumb line here is love and hate. So when we have that love in us, and we should have that love because of the Holy Spirit that's in us, so we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. The love of God in us should be showing through us for the brethren. Very important here, folks. From God's perspective, it's very important that we love brothers and sisters in Christ. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now, there are people that may be hard to get along with, difficult to get along with, that doesn't mean that we have to. What it means is, like, let's say we're having a problem with someone for some reason. That doesn't mean we have to be best friends and do this and do that. It means we don't hate them. We don't hate them. That's the key, hatred. So there may be someone we want to keep distance from, whatever reason. We want to keep distance from. We don't maybe bear witness with their lifestyle compared to the confession of Christ. You know, maybe they're vulgar, use bad language. Things like that. So we don't hate them. If we get the opportunity, we try to maybe help them in the Lord. So you don't have to be best friends, folks, but we cannot harbor hatred. That's where the death comes from. That's where the death comes from. Abideth in death. And that's strong. Abideth in death. I mean, this here, 1 John, is has a real cut to it, folks. You know, it's not like a gray area here. And the big thing is not hatred. Not hatred. We should have forgiveness. Moving in forgiveness, Lord, folks. We forgive someone for what they have done. We don't harbor it. If they hurt us kind of bad, we give that over to the Lord. Lord, this happened here. This is what's said. It wasn't true. In fact, there's a lying element in it. And I give this to you. I give this to you, Lord, to be for you to deal with this person. I forgive that person, but I give it to you to be dealt with. So the big thing here, folks, is not to harbor hatred in our heart, because that's where the death comes in. Abideth in death. It could be a struggle, It could be, you may be in need extra prayer about this situation. Could be a real tough family situation. Could be a problem at work. But the big thing is, and I'm stressing it over and over, do not harbor hatred. And that's why it's got to be dealt with right away. You don't want it to grow, folks. You don't want it to become malice and wrath and revenge and all. It consume us. Unforgiveness there can really take over, folks. And let me see, Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 12, verse 13, says, beware, brethren, lest in any of you there be a root of bitterness growing up whereby many are defiled, so that hatred can grow a root of bitterness whereby many are defiled. So forgive and give it to the Lord and remain in love. Because when we remain, when we abide in love, we abide in God. Verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So let me go to my Bible, which I don't think I've opened, which I have opened. And I want to go to verse 23. All right, now, this is one of the really a tremendously powerful verse. And I would say a good part of the Gospel of John, but other, well, 1 John, the Gospel of John, defining. It's defining for us what the New Testament commandments are. So verse 23 says, and this is his commandment. So the word commandment is being used many times in 1 John until we come to verse 23 and it defines it. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. That's the first commandment. And love one another as he gave us commandment. There's the second commandment. So the New Testament commandments is faith, believing on the name of Jesus Christ, and then living in, abiding in love. Abiding in love as he gave us commandment. So we're commanded to believe on the name of Jesus Christ, and we're commanded to love one another. Now, let's flow right into verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. So we maintain confession of faith in the belief in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And we love one another. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. So abiding in those two commandments, I believe, brings great peace with God. Staying within the confession of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, believing on his name that he is our Lord and Savior, and love one another as he gave us commandment. That gives us great peace. It'll give us great joy. And we will sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. If we go outside of that and abide in hatred, there's going to be a reaction there. The Holy Spirit is going to withdraw, and we should really sense that our peace will be gone, our joy will be gone, our power will be gone. But when we keep his commandments, hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So there should be a reaction in us, folks. There should be a tangible interaction with God. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Abideth in him. So that's what I'm looking at now. We're doing a teaching on abiding. Abiding in him. And most of it's centered in 1 John, folks, about abiding. Now let's go over and look in the Gospel of John. I'm looking at chapter 12, verse 46. I am come a light into this world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So this has to do with those that claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We should not be in darkness. That means we should not be abiding in hatred and all the works of the flesh, malice, anger, revenge, all of that. It says here, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Well, that's really what 1 John is saying also. 1 John and the Gospel of John in many ways complement each other. But there's what the words of Christ himself. Whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Now, right now, I can't think of anyone that I'm with here that has a problem of abiding in darkness. But years back I did. Years back I did. And had to counsel people, had to intercede for them and things like that because they're violating. I mean, it's very serious on us to abide in darkness. Jesus Christ was the sinless, only begotten Son of God. He did nothing wrong. However, he went to the cross. And even when they were nailing him on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had no malice in him. So look at verse 46 again. Whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will give us everything needed to not abide in darkness, but to stay in Christ. And when I minister to people, let's say there's a ugly family situation. And actually, I have been praying this quite a bit through the years. I pray that it doesn't matter, the husband or the wife will live above the anger, the strife, the malice, hatred, and that they're overcomers. We're overcomers through Christ. We have a blood covenant. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and love not their lives unto death. So I pray that they're overcomers and that they are going to abide in God's love, and God's love will overcome hatred. God's love, abiding in God's love, will take you above the fray of hatred. And then if the situation is like generating a lot of fear, well, God's love, we abide in God's peace, Rabbi. And when we abide in God's peace, we abide in overcoming fear. See, so it's abiding in it. overcoming means we're living in God's peace, and that fear is not going to reach us. That hatred is not going to reach us. We're overcomers, and we're abiding in God's love. And then there could be depression and mourning, sorrow, grief, and all of that. So we overcome that by joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So we overcome all of that mourning, sorrow, grief, you know, it could be hopelessness, it could even be like suicidal thoughts. We overcome that by God's joy. We abide in God's joy. We stand in God's joy. So this is how we abide in Christ. And we abide in his love. Now, from talking from personal experience, I had to like kind of grow into it over time. I mean, I knew that that's what it should be in me, but it was, shallow. But as I gave it to the Lord and prayed and all, slowly but surely, I began to abide in God's love over things, God's peace, God's joy, God's power. You know, certain situations like at work, for example, would want to drain God's power out of me. And when it was draining out of me, I could feel it. Literally feel it. Well, as I grew in the Lord, that happened less and less and less. And I got stronger in the Lord. And there was no, the draining powers stopped. It stopped. And so I was living above it, an overcomer. Living as an overcomer meant the overcoming is abiding in God's love all circumstances. Abiding in God's peace in all circumstances. You may take a little hit and you're knocked down for a short time, but you're right back up. Abiding in God's joy at all times. Abiding in the infilling of the Holy Spirit at all times. See, so we're not abiding in darkness. And there may be prayer needed and growth needed, but that is a goal. Abiding in the light. So John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he might abide with you forever. That's a nice promise, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, and that he abides with us forever. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abideth in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now, this is a real nice teaching. As long as the branch is attached to the vine, it'll bear fruit. Because the vine, the branches there really get the life from the vine itself and the roots. However, if that branch doesn't abide any longer in the vine and with the roots, that branch is going to die. It won't live long without the life coming from the vine, and, you know, especially coming from the roots. So look what John 15:4 says. abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. So when we step away from abiding in Christ, what happens? The fruit dies, folks. That's clearly what the Bible's saying. Now, I think the longer we're not abiding, a person's not abiding in Christ, it becomes dangerous for their spiritual well-being, folks. All sorts of dangerous things can happen spiritually. Not abiding in Christ. You know, not abiding in Christ, one way or another, there's sin involved in it. One way or another. And there's warnings about the deceitfulness of sin. Very deceitful, folks. So, abide in Christ. As long as we're abiding in Christ, and as this teaching is in 1 John and in the Gospel of John, it's abiding in his love. We will bear fruit. John 15:6. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and he withereth, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and I shall, and it shall be done unto you. So there's two pretty strong verses here. The first one, if a man abideth not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And then it's pruning, folks. What I see is like a grapevine there. And the time comes when the dead part there of the vine, that branch, dies off. It's pruned away and gathered and thrown into a fire. We don't want that applied to us, folks. If we abide in Christ, we never have to worry about being cast into the fire like a pruned fruit tree. We will always have life in us, folks, always. Verse 7, all right. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So that means dwelling now. We abide in Christ and his word is in us. He shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. So that's a real nice promise, folks. We abide in Christ. And his word abides in us. And that means we're disciples, folks. That means on a daily basis there we're abiding in him. And his word is abiding in us. We're reading his word. We're studying his word. We're memorizing his word. We're meditating on his word. That's his word abiding in us. And ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, as I'm sharing this scripture, for the first time, two verses have come to my mind. Do you see where it says here, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you? Now, this verse, Joshua 1:8, I've quoted it through the years many, many times. And the other one, is Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. Okay. So Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then I will make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. So the word abiding in us through memorizing and meditating on it. Look what 1 John 15:7 says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, Joshua 1:8 is the word abiding in us. Ye ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. You shall be prosperous and good success. So there's a tie in there directly between John 15:7 and Joshua 1:8. And then we go to Psalm 1, 2, and 3, verses 2 and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He shall bring forth fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. There you go. So Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3, and John 15:7, really tie together real nice about the word abiding in us. It brings God, when we're full of the word, it's abiding in us. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's the blessings that are found in Joshua 1:8 for meditating on the word. The blessings in Psalm verses 2 and 3 for meditating on the word. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Well, the commandments there that we're looking in John is basically love one another. It really revolves around love, folks. Abiding in God, God abiding in us. It has to do with love. Real powerful force, folks. Love. And that's why we got to flee from darkness and stay in God's love. The scriptures, the rest of the scriptures here I wanted to look at have to do about really rapture verses in 1 John. But before I do that, I want to stop over and discuss abiding here. And Sister Paula Jean, how are you doing with this teaching in 1 John about abiding in God's command?
Abiding to me is, you know, it's like the key.
Yes.
Yeah, and it takes discipline.
Yes.
It's something that the heart has to want it. And when the heart wants it, it makes it much easier. And when you ask for help, that too makes it much easier. And I mean, it's like, because we have to keep our interest stimulated and our ears attuned and our willingness absolutely active. And then we need to be celebrating every time we notice that we're getting the help we're asking for.
Yeah, we have to make a conscious effort to abide in God's love. We may something may happen and we may slide over into hatred. And as I'm telling you this, in my mind, things that happen, particularly on my job there. Now, that was many years ago. I retired, 27 years ago now. Wow, 27 years. I'm retired more than I worked. Those things could easily get you into hatred. But so when we see that, we have to make a conscious effort. Lord, no. I forgive. Here, no hatred, Lord. Take that hatred out of me. So, yeah. You know, we see this, we make a conscious effort there. We see it. But then it comes at some point as we mature in the Lord that it will like automatically happen. So they say something, or something said, something's done, a lie about you, trying to hurt your career, and we don't go into hatred. We automatically stay in God's love, living as an overcomer, abiding above it.
Yep.
Okay, Paula Jean, thank you. Sister Sharon?
Thank you.
Yes, Sister Sharon. Well, I know she's there.
Okay, I did that wrong button again. I'm sorry. I'm here. And anyway, I love that example that you and Paula Jean just did. Everything, you know, especially when she was saying about that you just have to, you know, work at it and strive for it and stuff. And you've been, you know, talking all this time about, you know, anger and, you know, hatred and stuff like that. And I can't remember having such hatred and stuff toward anybody, you know, for so long. It's just kind of like a concept that doesn't fit me.
Well, that's very nice. Very nice, Shen. Amen.
Yeah.
So you're dwelling, you're abiding, too. You know, you're abiding in God's love.
Yes. You know, and amen. I actually, the whole time when you were teaching that and talking about it, and that's what I was thinking, that, yeah, I am in God's love. I am. And yeah, just to kind of help reinforce it and maybe feel better. And even if the you go back and forth between First John and regular John and stuff, it's kind of like, I don't want to say confusing, but it's just interesting that they're pretty much the same words and the same study, different books.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But that's
fun. Yeah. Now, one of the tough spots for being an overcomer like that, abiding, is like you could say in a marriage where there is tremendous strife and ugliness. I mean, that is really a point that we have to face and say, Lord, no matter what happens, I'm not going into hatred. I am going to stay in your love no matter what. So, Lord, intercede for me. Help me. You know, but a marriage can be a very tough situation. Well, thank you, Sister Karen. All right. Sister Kathy?
Yeah, everything's shaking out good. Sounds good.
Okay. About overcoming or abiding, I should say.
Yes.
Abiding.
Abiding. Abiding.
All right. Charles?
Yes, sir. Yes, Chaplain. I've been reading some of the Romans lately. I've to switch over to John and to remind myself. I mean, if we're true believers, we're going to want to live godly lives. And but, you know, some of the stuff's kind of scary. You know, I don't want to be pruned off and thrown in.
Yeah. You don't want to be pruned off, huh? Yeah,
no,
right.
Sir.
Yeah. Well, if we get outside the vine, the branch dies.
Yes, sir.
And notice
that
it kind of commits suicide. Because you can't live outside of being linked to the vine. So that's what happens spiritually with Jesus Christ. If we walk and live outside of him in hatred, then we start dying. And then that, with a branch, we start dying.
Yes, sir.
Because of that hatred.
Yes, sir.
All right.
But, I just need to read the New Testament from, you know, start to finish and get a better picture instead of focusing on one book at a time, you know, or whatever. But just as a former Catholic, I've been so focused on justification, Romans and Galatians and, you know, just because of the freedom, not freedom, but just the joy that it brings, I guess.
Amen.
But thank you for the teaching, Chaplain. I'm enjoying it, and I do understand it. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Gigi, are you – Randy, are you there?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay. I was just going to pull the trigger and put you on mute. All right.
Send out the troops, right?
So tell us about how the teaching is going tonight.
I think it's good. I really, really, really like –
the book of 1 John when I am feeling, you know, kind of down or discouraged. I always go back and I read it. And I know it's about the, you know, the Gnostics, but when I read that scripture about what the disciples knew and even their hands had handled, I don't know why, but that just is so incredible to me that they, I know that he was doing it for one reason, but for me, that makes it so real. And I think that's what's amazing about 1 John is that it makes everything so real.
Yes.
I don't know
absolutely
better word to use, but
yeah,
it just makes it real.
That's and what we were discussing. We've discussed this, you know, already back about 1 John. It's a special book. It's different. It's different. I read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it's not as personal as 1 John is.
Yes, I agree.
That's my take on it. There is a personal interaction on a different level in 1 John, the Gospel of John. The way it touches me is just different than the other books. That's all there is to it.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. That's very good that we're going through that step by step. I appreciate that.
All right. And then Michael's here. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Chaplain John. Good evening.
Good to hear from you now.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Any comment, Michael?
Well, I kind of called in late, and I just got on not long ago, so I really didn't get to hear the lesson tonight.
Oh, okay.
But I, yeah.
All right. Better late than never.
Mm-hmm.
The old saying goes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I'm looking at the time. And I have more teaching left on, there's quite a few scriptures in 1 John about the rapture. In fact, there's a surprising amount of them in 1 John. But I don't know if I want to start it. I guess we can. I guess we'll look at these scriptures and then we'll end that book for the night. All right. So let's take a look at 1 John. No, actually, I should go back to chapter 2. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, I left out that. So I'm putting them together now, the scriptures in the 1 John about the rapture. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So that the having confidence flows into verse 29. If we know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So to not be ashamed, We know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So that's the key. Verse 28 and 29 go together. That when we abide in him, and that means we're living righteously, we will not be ashamed at his appearing. All right, now let's go down and look at the other scriptures. 1 John 3:1 now. So this is carrying right over from the end of chapter 2 into chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So we here now are called the sons of God. Now, of course, were the adopted sons of God. Jesus Christ is totally unique in an eternity past and into eternity future. He is the only begotten Son of God. That's the relationship that the Father and the Son have. But we are adopted sons of God. We know that from Romans 8:15 and Galatians 4:6-7. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba. So our spirit is quickened, given life through the Holy Spirit, and we are adopted into the family of God. So that's why I make this huge distinction between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. He always was the only begotten Son of God, like I said, in eternity past. But we are like born again literally from the dead. It's like we were kind of zombies, like a zombie movie. We come to Christ and we're given life from the dead. Now, of course, 3:1 flows into 3:2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Now we are. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So even though we're the adopted sons of God now, that hasn't really changed our physical appearance. Now, it can change our physical appearance in that our continence can change. Some people's continence is changed dramatically. They were full of fear and bondage, and they come to Christ and that's all gone, and they have like a glow to them. So in that sense, yes, we can change. But we don't change in that, like, God's glory is illuminating through us like it will be in the presence of Jesus Christ. We still subject to pain, disease, injury, and all of that. So we don't see, even though now we're the sons of God, we don't see that big change. We will see it when Christ returns and we receive our glorified body. But we do know in verse 2, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So when we see Jesus Christ as he is in his glory, we know, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So when we see Jesus Christ coming in the rapture and we see him in his glory, manifesting his glory, for we shall be like him then. We will have not a resurrected body. Those that are alive at his coming will have a transformed body. Our body for like 1 second will be like it is now, and a second later, it will be eternal. In the presence of Jesus Christ, we will have an eternal body just like his. So that's what John is really saying here. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Because basically, we're the same. Before we come to Christ, and now we come to Christ, our body didn't make any supernatural spiritual change. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Why? For we shall see him as he is. So when we see the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory, we will have a body to match that. 1 John 3:3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And that's why the living with the blessed hope is so important. Look at that verse. And every man that hath this hope in him, what? Christ coming for us, and we'll have a body like his, purifies himself even as he is pure. So 1 John 3:3 is really important, and it goes along with Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So for spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, having this hope, we shall be like him, or we shall see him as he is. God, that hope in us purifieth us, even as he is pure. The blessed hope is very powerful, folks. Very powerful. It's a living hope. It's not, we have to first have the doctrine. We have to have the first doctrine. At first, we have to have the correct doctrine. But then it develops into a living relationship, like a marriage, and leading up to the marriage. It should be a living relationship, even though you're not married. If it's not, there's something radically wrong. But there should be a expectation, a hope, a excitement. And that's what happens when we have, and every man that hath this hope in him, the blessed hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So these verses are really nice, folks, in 1 John. Really, really nice discipleship. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, when we go to verse 18, we see what gives us that boldness is love. That love relationship, abiding in God with love. That gives us boldness on the day of judgment. We're not going to feel condemnation, because there's a love relationship. And I liken it to, the relationship is, we are God's little children and he is our Abba Father. And the little children just love their Abba Father. And the Abba Father wants to dote. I haven't used that word in a while. He wants to dote on his little children. So that's the love relationship I see here in 1 John 4:17 that carries over to 18 about love. There is no fear in love, verse 18. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So the little children really don't have, in a real loving relationship, they don't have any fear with their earthly father. At 4 years old, they're so excited when Abba Father comes home, and Abba Father's taking them out to get ice cream, and Abba Father's playing a little baseball with them and all. So the little child has no inhibition, no fear with his earthly father, and that's the relationship God wants to have with us when we're standing in judgment day, and he's going to judge us for rewards and crowns. And then this isn't in 1 John, but it ties, I love it because it ties together. 2 Timothy 4:18. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. And these series of scriptures are about Christ's appearing to them also that love his appearing. It's a very easy crown. A crown of righteousness is very easy, because that verse, Titus 4:8 and 1 John 3:3 go together. Every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. 2 Timothy 4:8. And not to me only, but also to them that love his appearance. If we love his appearance, we're going to live righteously, folks. And that's why we get a crown of righteousness, because we love his appearance. Okay, we'll call it a night now. And little touching base here. Anything, Paula Jean, about the scriptures there about the rapture and Christ coming for us?
John, we're looking forward to his coming soon.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready for a crown of righteousness?
I'm praying every day, and I'm constantly leaning on him. That's all I can say. And I trust that he's doing what I'm asking him to do, and I'm doing my best to abide and obey.
Amen. Okay. All right, Sister Sharon, any questions or comments about those scriptures? Every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure?
Yeah. Okay. And, I like all the teaching tonight and everything, and you just have to kind of go through it carefully, and you didn't listen to it, and I just really feel blessed by hearing it.
Okay. All right. That's what I like to hear, Sharon. I'm glad that you're blessed. Sister Kathy?
When Paula Jean said abide and obey, I thought, now that sounds like the makings of a good gospel song.
Yeah, or a good sermon.
There you go, both, yeah. But it was wonderful, wonderful. But I've been thinking about, you know, when you were talking about the why, what did they do that God wanted to wipe them out? I've been really thinking about that.
Give me more information about that.
Okay. Well, it was in last week's study, and that you just, it was John 2 somewhere, and just like you were just trying to figure out what in the world, you know, how, because it was serious, and he didn't say, I can't think of the reference exactly, but I've just been looking and seeing the times where he did just blow them all up and annihilate them, and it's quite a few times.
Okay. All right. Sister Gigi, any questions or comments there about every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure?
Well, I try to obey that is what I do. But I was going to say that this was some time ago now, but I did some research into what it actually meant to the sons of God, because there's other creatures that are called sons of God. And apparently, it took me a while to nail it down, but it means that it's a direct creation.
Yes.
Of God.
Yes.
And so it's not, you know, so that goes back to being born again and the whole situation with Nicodemus, right, where he didn't really understand that. But I always think that that is really precious. So it's God knit us together in our mother's womb, but we get this other birth that is being a totally direct creation of God. And I always think about that when I read those words, because I think, isn't that incredible that that's one of the ways that he transforms us so that we can be in his presence? And so that's always really a precious thing that I think about. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Now that you mention that, Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. We are adopted sons of God. When you look at
right.
The genealogy in Luke chapter 3, when you it goes backwards. Matthew chapter 1 goes forward from Abraham, but Luke chapter 3, it goes backwards from Mary. And when you get to the last one, and it says Adam, the son of God.
Right.
And then the angels are referred to also as the sons of God, because they were a direct creation of God.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's incredible, because it changes our status so that we can be with him.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes, absolutely.
I'm always grateful for that adoption.
All right. And then, Michael, do you have any comments there about the last section of the teaching tonight? Okay. All right. So we're left with about a half hour. So, Paula Jean, could you lead us into prayer tonight about the teaching, please?
Well, it's a big one. And it's a promise, and it's one that we can't do anything but seek him constantly and thank him. When we do find something he needs to prune, and let him prune it, because it means he's still at work, and we are going to be being pruned until we arrive in heaven. And it's a good thing. It's bringing us closer to being more like Jesus, and not by our efforting, except for through abiding and obeying and loving and praying. And Father God, we praise you for your word and your living word. We praise you for your Holy Spirit. We praise you for your love. We praise you for your patience and your close attention to what's going on with each and every one of us, and your quick response when it's needed, when we're leaning on you for close guidance. And I do pray, Father God, that you are being glorified every day and enjoying watching us grow in your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit as we submit and trust you. And I pray, Father God, that the prayers that we utter for the great outpouring are really filling your bowl full with incense and drawing you close to that great outpouring that we're calling for. Because it is the touch from you that can take people out of the pit that they've been deceived into. And we are praying for a spotless bride. And that's available only as you keep responding to our cries, holding us close and growing our love by pouring yours into us and out through us. I pray, Father God, that the peace that passes understanding is available to each and everyone who's listening tonight and in the archives in the coming days, Father God, because it's that peace that makes you so real to us, Father, because it takes away the distractions that keep us from hearing your voice sometimes. We really need you, and you know that we do. So I just give you thanks that you've given us everything in your word, in the Holy Spirit, in Jesus interceding for us, in the love that you pour out as we make ourselves available to it. And I pray that you be glorified, that you be pleased, and that you continue your work through the brochures, that you continue the anointing of Chaplain John when you speak through him, Father God, that you continue to bring excitement, joy, and celebration as we hear about the work that you're doing, both overseas and here at home. Have a wonderful week with us this coming week throughout every day that we get together. And keep up the good work, Father. We couldn't do it without you. We need you so much. And needing you keeps us more like little children, because we need to be held. We need to be loved. But we also need to have the firmness at times to keep us on the path that you have before us. So just keep up the good work, and thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. Sister Sharon, would you have a word of prayer now about the teaching, and put God's blessing on it, please?
Yes. Dear Father God, I am just so thankful for the teaching tonight. You know, the last couple of nights and stuff, the teaching of John and First John, and just how the words just, they flow together, and they're much more understandable when we read through them carefully and listen carefully. And I'm just so thankful that I am able to be here and to listen and to learn. Dear Father God, it is just so important. And once again, when Paula G was praying and stuff, I got to thinking about the little children with their brochures and learning to read and stuff, and just being able to compare words and the letters in words and learning to sound out words. But the thing that's most important is in these brochures is that everybody learns that Jesus loves them and that Jesus is going to return to get us. And we have to be saved. We have to understand salvation and hopefully help other people learn about salvation and your love for us. And it's such a beautiful thought, dear Father God, that we will someday be in that huge house and stuff and having the marriage supper of the Lamb. I am just very, very excited for that and to waiting for that. And of course, nobody wants to wait any longer than the next person. So I just am so grateful that I have this group to pray with and to hear prayers and to just to be with while we're all waiting. And I do thank you for that. And I'm just so grateful that we can abide in his love and stuff. And he is just wants us to love him and our neighbors and our friends and to have a forgiving nature and stuff and not hold grudges and dear Father God, because it's just not a good thing to hold on to a gripe or hatred or anything like that. You don't want us to do that. You want us to forgive. You want us to love one another, and it makes everything so much easier and joyful in life. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Father, in your word, it says that First John was written very clearly that we may have fellowship one to another, and that's all through love. And that, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's love also, both ways, Lord. And that your joy may be full. So Lord, I ask that we would be moving in the realm of fullness of joy, as we want all hatred out of us, Lord. All of that, Lord. We do not want, Lord, that we would move in forgiveness as quickly as possible, Lord, to forgive and not to harbor, let a root of bitterness spring up in us and many be defiled. Lord, keep us, with your love, there's no defilement, Lord. With love, with abiding in you and love, there is nothing between us. So that's what I'm asking for, Lord, that we all want the fullness of having a relationship with the Father and the Son. And Lord, that we would be flooded with your joy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I praise you and thank you, Lord. And we give you all the glory and the honor. And thank you for 1 John, Lord. Thank you for the Gospel of John. In certain areas, 1 John gives much more depth, Lord, than the Gospel of John. Now, the 1 John is more narrow than the Gospel of John, but it really enhances the Gospel of John, Lord. So thank you for both of them. And I ask to get great depth from your word in this as we go on in 1 John, that we really can apply to our lives, Lord. So we thank you, thank you, thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Now we must have, we got time for about 3 or 4 songs. So let me get over here to YouTube. Okay, I'm in YouTube. And Sister Kathy, I may have, let me hang on here. Yep, Sister Kathy, you have to be set free.
Oh, thank you. What
welcome.
A relief. What a feeling.
you can pray if you'd like, or just select a song.
I'll just select a song. I'm going to say, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right.
Okay.
Yeah. And when you pull it out, up, I'll tell you who.
I've got a, I gotta look while I'm typing.
All right.
I had to redo the whole thing. I've got a feeling.
Maybe Steve Brock or.
Everything. It's gonna be all right. All right. Now let's see who we. Bill Gaither?
Nope.
Dean and Mary Brown, Walt Mills.
Mills.
That's what Gaither.
Well, that's fine. But Walt will be featured in it, so. Walt, I like Dean and Mary. Dean, Mary's the one that wrote What a Healing Jesus. That would be a good one, too.
I've got one by Walt Mills by himself.
I'll take that.
No, wait, I've got a feeling. It must be the same song.
It is. It'll do if it isn't.
All right, here we go.
Thank you.
To lead all his people out. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He thought he'd give them the rout. So he chased them all down to the Red Sea shore. He thought he wouldn't have to worry about Moses anymore. But Moses stretched his rod out over the sea. And the Lord answered Moses with a little gentle breeze. I can see Moses now with a smile on his face, telling all the people with his gentle grace. I've got a feeling. David went out to fight the giant, and everyone laughed at such a funny little sight. A little shepherd boy armed only with a sling, beside mighty Goliath seemed such a puny little thing. But David said, you come to me with spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. He put in a stone and he gave it a fling, and when it left his hand, David, he began to sing. I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Yes, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Oh, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Be alright. Be alright. Be alright. And now for the greatest story of them all. Jesus was a-dying, and hell had a ball. All the demons were rejoicing, they thought they had won the war. But soon they would not be laughing anymore. On that first Easter morning, and the sun woke up the earth, the caverns of the deep opened up as to give birth to a resurrected Savior with healing in his wings. And now the host of children rise and sing. I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right.
Well, Sister Kathy, that was quite a surprise.
Yeah, that's a packs a wallop, doesn't it?
Oh, my, I enjoyed that. That was, never heard it before.
Yep, it's a pepper-upper.
Now, have you heard that just recently, or have you known that for a long time?
Oh, no. He was on, he's probably dead, I imagine, but he was on PTL a lot, and he's got a wife named, he had a PTL program, and his wife Betty is his biggest fan, and just they would go all around. He was a preacher too.
Okay, yeah, that, I mean, the words, everything was, it was very, yeah, very exhorting, like, you know.
Really captured so much in, what, 3 minutes and a half?
Yeah, that was excellent.
Thank you.
All right, so let's see who we have up here next. Well, okay, we got Kathy, and then we have Sharon. What song would you like?
I would like about Don Moen. Our God or our Father, it's called Our Father.
Our Father, who art in
That almost put me to sleep.
Yeah, it's a
very relaxing.
Nice song.
Yeah, it almost put me to sleep.
Yeah.
Okay, Paula Jean, do you have a song ready?
Yes, if you can find it. Lord, I want to praise you, lift my hands and say I love
you.
Wait.
Slow down.
Okay.
Tell me, Lord.
I want to praise you. Lift my hands.
No. By who?
Terry McCalmon. MacAlmon.
TerrY or I?
Correct. No, Y is good.
Yeah, McCallum. Okay, here we go.
Almon. Almon.
I just want to praise you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here we go. I got it.
Good. Thank you.
Lift my hands and I
Okay, nice selection.
Thank you.
And we are out of time. And Gigi, I realize that you are owed a song.
Oh, okay. Next time, because I got, I found a song from years ago. It's 2 minutes long. It's called "Behold What Manner of Love" from First John.
Oh, okay. Oh, that would be good. Yeah.
It's very short.
Okay. We'll have that for tomorrow. I mean, next week. All right. Tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you.
There's no streaming, but you call in the same number, 717-409-5553. Sister Kathy, Sharon, and others are there, and they pray until usually for at least 1-2, sometimes up to 3 hours. Then Saturday, I'll be back for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on regular time on Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. So God bless
everybody.
Are you
going to be here in the morning?
Yes. Yes, I'll be here. Patty is available for prayer in the morning also. His prayer would be at 11 a.m. Eastern. 11 a.m. Eastern. Okay, God bless everybody. It was a good day. And hope to see you Saturday night.
Amen.
Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave life everlasting, gave life everlasting, his life everlasting, his life everlasting. For God so loved the world that he gave.